Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Luke chapter 4, verses 43 and 44, titled, I Must Preach the Kingdom of God. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com or mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry, the Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study in Luke chapter 4, verses 43 and 44, titled, I Must Preach the Kingdom of God. This is part 1 of 2. Current events update. Deal of the century. You heard of that? It's being used about the Mideast peace process. And I ask, is it the deal of the century or the setting the stage for Antichrist? Netanyahu says that the Trump deal is a once-in-history opportunity. What he's wrong about is he says, quote, such an opportunity to secure Israel's future will not come again. Those of you who know your Bible know that this peace deal is not going to secure Israel's future. That won't happen until Jesus returns. And that's a hard truth for a lot of people to accept. We like to think that there's possibility for world peace and peace in the Middle East. Ain't going to happen until Jesus, the Prince of Peace, returns. Doesn't mean we want war either. We're just saying, do things God's way or it's going to fall apart. This is a Jerusalem Post article. It says, Israel must not miss the opportunity in U.S. President Donald Trump's peace plan. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said on Saturday, the day before, he and blue and white leader M.K. Benny Gantz are headed to Washington. That's today. They're supposed to be in Washington to receive what Trump has called the deal of the century. And I've tried to tell people, and well-intentioned people try to say Donald Trump is a Christian and all that stuff. I don't believe he's a Christian. And I know that he doesn't know the Bible. And I know that if he knows anything about the biblical perspective on these things, it's because of Christians talking to him and telling these things. And they do, praise the Lord. But Netanyahu said in a video posted to social media, quote, this is an opportunity that comes once in history and we cannot miss it. We have the best friend Israel has ever had in the White House, true. And therefore, we have the best opportunity we ever had, false. He's right that I don't believe anybody can be said to be a better friend to Israel than Donald Trump has been. But the idea that Trump's plan is going to bring about peace is useless. Amen. Palestinians will only be satisfied with all of the land. Yeah. I like the bumper sticker. It says, coexist with a question mark. You can't get along with those who want to kill you. And that's what's going on in Israel. Amen. The Palestinian Authority and the Palestinian Liberation Organization and all the names they've gone under. Some of you remember Yasser Arafat. You remember him? Yeah. Oh, yeah. They said that the goal of their movement was to push Israel into the Mediterranean. They want it to be a Jew-free zone. And until they get that, the Palestinians are not going to be satisfied. Thankfully, the IDF knows what's coming, and they're planning for increased tensions over the Trump peace plan. The IDF's Central Command has deployed 6 battalions to Judea and Samaria to prevent terror attacks, according to Army Radio. Palestinian leaders called for mass protests to attempt to stop the plan, which they called the, quote, Zionist American conspiracy. Now, I'll just tell you, you've been lied to. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, and even a lot of people on places like Fox News, they lie. And they tell you that the Palestinians want peace with Israel. They don't want peace with Israel. They want the death of Israel.
Yeah.
Just listen to what they chant when they have their rallies. Death to America, death to Israel. And Israel, America's the great Satan and Israel's the little Satan. That's what they'll say.
Yeah.
And a Palestinian Authority official told the Jerusalem Post that Palestinian leadership is, quote, facing huge pressure from the street to take tough measures, especially halting security coordination with Israel. In other words, this isn't just the leaders in Palestine, which you're, again, lied to by people. They'll say it's just the leaders. It is the rank and file majority of Palestinians hate Jews. Now, how would you feel if I looked at somebody who's black and said, I hate you because you're black? Or if we have a Hispanic and we've had Hispanics come here, and I look and I say, well, you know, you're not welcome here. We hate you because you're Hispanic. You would think I was human trash, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And you'd be right. So why is it okay to hate Jews?
It's not.
But that's what's going on today. And it's all leading up to the big one. And it's simply a fact, all the land belongs to Israel. And no, quote, land for peace will work.
Amen. Right.
Trump's deal of the century is going to involve a land deal. He's a real estate guy. And so pray for the president and pray for Israel and pray for all this, because it's totally against God's word. And as we've always said, when Trump does something we like, we're going to say so. I don't care who likes it or not. I'm going to tell you when anybody in power does the right thing, I'm going to tell you.
Amen.
But when Trump does something wrong, I'm going to tell you. And this peace thing that Trump is doing is wrong. The Bible says in Joel 3, beginning verse 1, for behold, in those days and at that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, it's happening, I will also gather all nations. This is what's about to happen. This is very soon on the prophetic calendar. And I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. We've called that Armageddon. And I will plead with them there for my people and my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and what?
Parted my land.
There's a payday coming. They are parting the land of it. The whole thing belongs to Israel. And these peace plans that part that land are against God's will. And it's hard for people to get that. That Armageddon, the big thing about Armageddon is the land. God's coming to confiscate what's His.
Amen.
Yeah, Doug?
There's a place over there in Isaiah that speaks about not the full pool of the landmarks.
Remove not the landmarks. Yeah. So before we get into the study, I open with a word of prayer, and then Sister Jenny is Allball is going to sing a song. And the song is kind of a sarcastic take on the fleshly and carnal Christian idea of that God owes us everything. So keep that in mind as she sings it. And what's the name of the song? It's a parody of another song. What's the name of the song, Johnny?
The
original?
The original is called Put Another Log on the Fire.
Now, how many of you remember that song? I thought maybe some of you did.
Just sing us it real quick.
No.
The Muppets.
The tune will be familiar.
Yeah, the tune will be. The Muppets, I think, is one place where you can find it.
Yeah.
They did a pretty, from what I can tell, a good version of it.
All right, so let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being able to open this book and study. And we thank you for just the time to come together with such a good group this morning. And we pray everyone's here to learn the Word of God.
Amen.
It takes quite an arrogant ass to think that they don't need to learn your Word. And so we pray if there's anybody here like that, that they'll realize how stupid they are and repent and turn their face toward you and say, teach me, Lord, because I am ignorant. I am undone. Help me. Give me wisdom. And that's our prayer this morning as we get into your book. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Give me more of what I desire is what she's titled it. Show. Now bring that up. Hey.
Good job.
Everybody needs a good woman. Amen. So in Luke 4:43, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Jesus tells us that he is presenting the kingdom to the Jews. We're going to see this expandingly as we continue our study in Luke, but Jesus said, I go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There were times where he said, it's not for me to give the meat unto the dogs. That's us. Because he was the Messiah of Israel. And an unsaved Gentile is a dog. And in the Bible, that's the reference. You get saved, suddenly you're a child of the King. Isn't that a blessing? And according to your arc, these days you say, hey, what's up, dog? You know, that's supposed to be a good thing. But this is not to the church. So a lot of times as you're reading this, you have to understand he's not speaking to the church yet. There comes a time where the teaching of the kingdom of God is directed to the church. But not at this point. It is to Israel and the Jews. So a little reality check as we get going. It's something you just kind of have to get in your frame of mind if you want to understand the Bible. You have to understand that the church, also called the body of Christ, will be in the kingdom. But the church is not the kingdom.
Amen.
That's why the prayers, for years I used to hear people pray and they'd say, like you'd taken up an offering. And it's funny how you go to any Southern Baptist church, the deacons would always pray that the Lord would use this offering to the upkeep or upbuilding of his kingdom. And that's not really, they use that money to pay for the bills of the local church. and it's to preach the gospel and bring people into the church. Now, we'll see in a minute, but Jesus says you can't see the kingdom unless you're born again. But when you're born again, it's not to put you in the kingdom, it's to put you in the church, put you in the body of Christ. And it's a difference that is important. In the same way, the kingdom of God is the program of the kingdom of heaven. We have a study called the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of heaven. They're two different things, technically, theologically. Yet they will come together eventually.
Amen.
And we'll see a chart on that in a minute. Well, let's go ahead and look at the chart, Greg. Clarence Larkin had a nice little chart where he shows this. You can see the distinct character of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and the visible church and the invisible church. Because the visible church, look around you. But there's a reality that not everybody sitting in the pews today are saved and going to heaven. In the physical church building, people can come in and sit in a pew who don't believe in Jesus Christ. The invisible church, that's not possible. The invisible church, you are baptized by the Spirit into the one body.
Amen.
Everyone in the invisible church, and people don't like that word invisible. And I get tired of the little semantic games everybody wants to fight about. Not visible, invisible, you know, the spiritual or whatever, however you want to put it. But all of us sitting here today have physical bodies. And the younger people don't know this as much as some of us older people. But these physical bodies are trouble.
Amen. Yeah.
Olivia says amen. And eventually, if the Lord doesn't come back, we die. Physical bodies. But you, the real you inside you, will never die.
Amen.
That's whether you're saved or not. If you're not saved, you'll suffer what's called the second death. But it's not annihilation. It is an eternity in hell. As a Christian, you have eternal life. Unsaved, you have eternal death. That's the choice you make. And that's the difference between the visible and invisible church, the visible and invisible you. Then the kingdom of heaven is God's kingdom on earth. How many of you are aware of the fact that's not here yet? We would not have a thing called the coronavirus freaking everybody out, for example, if the kingdom of heaven was here now. But the kingdom of God exists already and is a separate thing from the kingdom of heaven. Although, again, they will come together and on earth when during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, we'll see that. So at this point in Luke 4, Jesus has come to teach about the kingdom. And look over at Mark chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15. Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God. Well, here in Mark chapter 1, we're picking up where John has been put in prison. And it says in verse 14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the what?
The gospel of the kingdom of God.
The gospel of the kingdom of God. That's not the same thing as the gospel that you and I preach. The gospel that you and I preach is how that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God, entails a lot of different and a lot more than that. And he says, and the time is fulfilled. Verse 15, read that. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So he's telling people at this point, why isn't it the same? He hasn't even died yet. He hasn't resurrected yet. That's why we preach what he did do already. We're looking back and saying, Christ died for your sins. He was buried and rose again. You're a sinner. You need forgiveness. Jesus shed his blood, paid the full price for that sin. If you will repent toward him, he will forgive those sins. And he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death, to prove to you that he is God, that his word is true. If he says he will raise you from the dead, he's going to do it. But at this point, that's still future. Haven't happened yet. So we will follow the progressive revelation of the kingdom as we continue our study of the Gospel of Luke. The Bible is now complete. Revelation is done. We have all that God has for us in that Bible you have in your hands.
Amen.
At this point, not a single New Testament document exists. You have the Old Testament, and it's kind of hidden. It's in the synagogues, but people aren't walking around carrying the Old Testament with them because they'd have to have a big cart filled with scrolls. That's how they didn't have. We have it so good. We are blessed to have Bibles, all 66 books under one. Hold yours up. Stephen's got a big one, and look at that. He one hand doesn't need a couple of donkeys with a cart to carry around all the scripts, the scrolls. And then if he needs to find a book, well, where is that? Where is that? Oh, this is the script. And enroll it, and it's chapter 60 in Isaiah. Imagine how long you'd have to, you know, keep going and going and going until you hit in that scroll, Isaiah 60.
They didn't even have,
he wouldn't even really know what to look for unless he knew it by heart, because they didn't have chapter 60 at the top like you do. And verse 60, verse 10. They didn't have that. Verse 10 wasn't there. So he'd have to almost memorize how the thing was laid out.
Be like a regular book.
Be worse than that. Now, you think about that. Look at this thing.
Ooh.
Most of you have this on your phone, a phone app or something, and you just blink, 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 blink. Boom. There it is. Man, have we got it good. We'll have it better. In the kingdom, it'll be all right here. And all right here.
Amen.
Says he won't even have to go around teaching about the Lord anymore.
Amen.
Isn't that something? So let's start by noting that Israel, I don't mean start this message, I mean start with our thought there, that Israel is promised a revived nation with all of the land. Just so happens that this deal of the century thing with Donald Trump's taking place right now. But what's wrong with Donald Trump's plan? He's not giving them all the land. Now, the logical response is, well, that's impossible. That's it. That's our point. We need Jesus.
Amen.
We need Jesus. Jesus returns, he'll settle the thing. So what do we do in the meantime? In the meantime, we face the fact that the Jews are suffering from having rejected their Messiah. Almost 80% of the Jews in Israel aren't even theists. They don't even believe in God, according to their profession. Their book, Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." So 80% of the Jews in Israel are fools. But don't get me wrong, I'm not Jew-hating up here. I believe they deserve that land. They have a right to that land. They don't deserve it. Even God said, "I'm not giving it to you because you deserve it." But they have a right to that land because God has promised it to Abraham and his seed. Let's look over at Genesis chapter 12. Where do we find that? And so if Donald Trump gave me a phone call and said, "Well, Greg, I heard your message you taught there at BBF. And what would you like me to do? I mean, I've got this deal of the century, and you don't think it's good enough because you got this idea. We have to give them all the..." I'd say, "President Trump, with all due respect, it's not my idea. I'm just saying this is what God says.
Amen.
My, if I were president, or if the president said, 'Hey, we'll do whatever you say, Greg,' what would I tell him to do? Butt out.
Amen.
There are ally, support them, Make sure the world knows we're not going to let you just come down and blow them off the map like you want to. But as far as the peace plan, butt out. And tell the UN to butt out.
Amen.
That's Greg Miller's Middle East policy.
Amen.
You won't see it until Jesus comes back.
Two-state solution is not the solution.
That, yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because that's what they're calling a two-state solution. Folks, the Palestinians are the ones who don't want two states. They want it all. And until they get it all, there's no peace. Israel can give up as much land as possible. There will still be no peace. All starts here. God started it all. Genesis 12, verses 12 and 13. Oh, that's not right. I got the wrong reference. That's the thing about technical difficulties. You can fix them. All right, let's try this. Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. Read with me. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, God's promised that Abraham's going to be a blessing, and his name will be great. But what's the first thing he says there? I will make of thee a what?
Great nation.
A great nation. There are these heretics out here teaching that the promise was only to Abraham. Every time they come after us, Jew lovers, they call us, because we support Israel and everything. And I tell you, I go right back and I'll read it. So he says, and I will make of thee a great nation. It doesn't say that this promise is just to Abraham. It says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And that can't just be talking about Abraham because he's dead. And the blessing came through Israel. Jesus is a Jew. He was called King of the Jews. I had people write me and tell me, Jesus wasn't a Jew.
What?
Yeah. And why did they call him King of the Jews? And have you ever read those genealogies?
No.
You know, there's a long story about how they get to where they say he's an Aryan. But go ahead and go to chapter 13. One chapter over. And look, God, well, this morning, Stephen pointed out that, you know, God says something, but he's allowed to expand upon that. He's allowed to give exceptions, for example. When we studied in our online studies in Exodus, the law says, thou shalt not kill. But then keep reading, and there's specifications on that, because you actually can kill if it's self-defense. You can kill in war. So when you read God's word, you have to take the whole counsel, all the counsel of God, not just pick things out of there. And here we see that God's promised the land, or promised Abraham he'll be a great nation. But here we get the land aspect. Verse 14 says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now I want you to read that with me. Verse 15, read the whole verse. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now, if you don't want to believe that, just admit you don't believe the Bible. But if you believe